Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of unreality. And thank you all for joining us. We are recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we will begin this morning with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 41 of Divinity Course in General Collectania, otherwise known as the Blue Book. It's a watch. No form of error can make a Christian Science treatment produce an opposite effect, nor can I be made to overlook or forget anything in the treatment that is necessary for its certain accomplishment of good. We must go ahead of error and keep ahead of error all the way. Error is nothing but erroneous thought, and we must never give in to it or go down before it. Mental activity must be tranquil, not lazy. It must express force, be exact, and it must know the reality of man's oneness with God and the utter unreality of evil in all its forms of belief. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. Okay, Karen.
Watch number 230. Watch lest you think of error in terms of getting rid of it as fast as possible, rather than overcoming your fear of it, belief in it, and learning the lessons it teaches. A child might beg its father to turn on the light so that the darkness of which it was afraid might be dispelled. A wise father would explain the nature of darkness as merely being the absence of light and keep the child in it long enough so that it would lose its fear of it. This must be our Heavenly Father's purpose. When we find ourselves confronted with claims of darkness, which do not disappear at once, which we find voiced in Science and Health, page 22, quote, love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified, end quote. Once one explained the Exodus 4:4, Mrs. Eddy said, quote, sometimes I seem to hear the voice of the Father like this. My child, there is nothing in mortal mind to fear, not even the educated thought that knows what it is doing. But these different claims must needs remain until thou art not afraid. They are here only for thee to learn that they cannot harm. When that is learned, their mission is accomplished, and away they go. The way to learn their powerlessness is through the constant recognition of God's power to dislodge them, end quote. From this, we can learn what our Heavenly Father's purpose is when we are at times confronted with suggestions and arguments which frighten us and which do not retreat at once under our sincere and scientific effort.
Thank you. A good one. A lot of people said how much it helped them this week. So, comments on this?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
This is wonderful. But my favorite part is the way to learn their powerlessness is through the constant recognition of God's power to dislodge them. That's my very favorite part.
Okay. Thank you. Who else?
It's so beautiful, really great, because, you know, error that hangs on and hangs on and hangs on. We have to see the nothingness and the powerlessness of it. And like you said here, the unreality of evil, no matter what is going on, unreal, powerless and nothingness. And I think it's so great because I'm sure everyone has had something that has hung over a long time. But no self-will, you know. I think sometimes, you know, we want a certain thing, a certain way. That also, as we read, there is no self-will in science, in Christian Science. He's in living it.
Thank you very much. Because, you know, that is what I remember doing when things were taking a long time, especially, well, all kinds of things, I guess, but trying to will it, to force it to happen, to make it happen, especially in relationships. You know, I just wanted to make it happen. And you cannot take shortcuts in this. It backfires on you. You have to. One of the articles that Carrie sent, we'll probably end on, is about let, the word let, letting God, let God work. That word let is used many, many times in science and health, probably in the Bible as well. But you have to submit to him. And that doesn't mean you're not working and praying actively about the situation. You are knowing the truth about it, but you cannot force things to happen. If you try, it will blow up in your face. And I know it because I've done it. You cannot force an outcome. It has to be just as this watching point says. You have to let God work and also learn the lessons that are required of you. Because if you force it, you're not learning any lesson. You're being very willful. And it's in the lesson this week. Willpower is but a product of belief. And this belief commits depredations on harmony. Human will is an animal propensity, not a faculty of soul. Hence, it cannot govern man aright. Christian Science reveals truth and love as the motive powers of man. Will, blind, stubborn, and headlong, cooperates with appetite and passion. From this cooperation arises its evil, and from this also comes its powerlessness, since all power belongs to God good. But at the same time, if you are indulging in animal propensities, whatever they are, you just can't say it never happened in divine mind, can you?
No,
because that's another thing that some Christian Scientists tried to do. You have to admit to what happened, and then what?
Forsake this way, Isaiah in the Golden Text.
Yes.
The wicked forsake his way. When it's corrected, leave it entirely.
Mary?
Yes.
Could I add something? Christian Science, what I'm realizing, is not a Pollyanna story. It's not a New Age wistful whim. It's really, it's like working on drawings and saying, Father, Mother, what do you want me to do? And sometimes it means having to let go of preconceived ideas. So sometimes this waiting is very, very important because we're asking God what to do. You know, Mary Becker Eddy had so many editions of the Science and Health, and there's a reason for that.
Thank you. Yes, there are so many false interpretations of Christian Science. People make it what they want it to be and not what it really is. And then they wonder why their efforts are not successful. If you practice it correctly, it does work. And if whatever it is you're trying to achieve, thy will be done, Father, God's will be done. If you get yourself out of the way and don't try to jump in the middle of everything and everybody and direct traffic, I call it.
The regulator.
Yes, tend the regulator. It's in Pro's work. She talks about don't. And the regulator. So let God work. And again, that doesn't mean you're not. Go ahead. You're not.
No,
inactive.
You let me. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I came to the conclusion that we let only because we know that He is the all-knowing. Whatever He knows or whatever He's giving you is the best. It can't be better than that.
Yes.
And Jesus said, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So it's just so helpful for me to remember I'm not trying to change anything. There's nothing to be destroyed. We're only here to fulfill God's law and reflect Him. And so, you know, sometimes all those confusing thoughts about Christian Science might come in and say, well, is it this or is it that? And it's different levels that Mrs. Eddy was speaking on, but it's just important to remember it's simple. It's very simple. It's God's law and nothing else.
Thank you.
Whatever that is. and it's often not what we want, but it is always what we need.
Yeah. And it's wonderful.
It is. And you can let it happen. And it sometimes seems like a fight and a battle, and maybe initially it can be fighting some of the erroneous arguments, but what Mrs. Eddy says, don't beat out against the mist, simply rise above it. And as you get more and more into this right sense of who and what you are as the image and likeness of God, and knowing the truth about the situation, whether it's a physical, financial, emotional, relationships, or whatever it is, as you're declaring the truth about it, it'll come into being. The right sense of it will happen. Mrs. Eddy says right thought must manifest itself. But, and I know I did this too, I would work on this for a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months. Okay, I did it. Now, how come I'm not seeing the results? This is part of what this watching point is saying. You have to be in this for the long haul. And if you're only in it to get what you want out of it
today
or tomorrow, then you aren't a Christian Scientist. And please do not pretend to be one. Just go your way. Go seek the worldly ways of doing whatever you want to do. But don't call yourself a Christian Scientist, because you're not. You've got to be in it for the long haul, and you have to do it for the right motives. And when you do, it's not, I don't mean to make it sound like a horrible drudgery. It's not. It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And you will find your life is better than you ever dreamed it could be. And all the things that you ever long for become yours, but only as byproducts of your relationship with the Father. He will restore the years that the locust hath eaten. So, and this lesson brings out very clearly and unreality. Yes, you forsake the error, and you have to repent of it. You have to be very, very sorry of it. And then
change.
And let your who and what you are show what you've gained, and not what you preach or try to tell people that you are. But who are you? What are you? It'll become very evident. And I gave a testimony about loathing the era, and the quote was on 240. Mortals move onward towards good or evil as time glides on. If mortals are not progressive, past failures will be repeated until all wrong work is defaced or rectified. If at present satisfied with wrongdoing, we must learn to loathe it. If at present content with idleness, we must become dissatisfied with it. Remember that mankind must sooner or later, either by suffering or by science, be convinced of the error that is to be overcome. Now, loathing is a very strong word, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember when Mrs. Evans was talking to me about this, I thought, I didn't think Christian Scientists were supposed to loathe anything, but here it is. Here it is. You absolutely should loathe the error. And as I spoke in my testimony, if you don't, you will coexist with it. And that's not good enough. Because, you know, the right thought is warring with the wrong thought until you kick the wrong thought out permanently, get it by its roots, get rid of it. And you'll only do that if you really loathe it and see how destructive it is. And one of the most deceiving things, and this again was part of my problem, was human do-goody. Because if you think you're humanly good, well, there's nothing to change. I'm good. But human do-goody is not good enough. It's not divine good. It's not the love of the Father. It's a human love, and it's a love that will turn to hate. So you must loathe all aspects of error.
Unless that love is refined and purified, and it gets purified in the fire, you will have experiences that prove to you that human love doesn't work. It's not good enough. But if you continue to love, it will be refined and it will become more divine. And that is really what we should all be striving for and experiencing.
Thank you very much. And in her chapter on marriage, Mrs. Eddy's chapter on marriage, she says, human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, elevating it. The wintry blasts of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshly ties serves to unite thought more closely to God. For love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. So, because people will say, you know, I've been working to love this person or get this relationship straight, and they still aren't nice to me. Well, frankly, that doesn't matter, does it? You love as the sun shines. You just love, whether they like you or not, just love. And eventually, whatever's to be will be. But in the meantime, you will have grown tremendously through that.
Yeah, when there's a quote from Miscellany, when these things cease to bless, they will cease to occur. So, as long as that situation is going on, that's what you need to have happen.
That's what you need to have happen. And there's no shortcuts to it. You just keep loving and working and doing. And you are making progress whether you see it or not. You are. You have to be. And someday it'll be like the sun bursts forth from the clouds and you'll realize the growth that you've made and how strong you are in the truth. You're no longer a weak little willy-nilly that gets pushed around and bossed around by error, but you stand strong.
And you will find your life purpose, and you will have a joy that nobody will ever be able to take away from you. Because you won't be dependent upon any other person.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're,
science and health. Oh,
yeah. When you're going through this, you don't, a lot of times, don't want to hear any of this. I sure as heck didn't want to hear any of this. So I wanted things to work out my way as soon as possible. But, you know, you can't force it. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, this quote from Science and Health came to me this week in regards to this watch too, where she said, where Mrs. Eddy says, every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. So I was working with that also this week.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you get more into it. More into it. And if you're here just to get the result that you want, then you are here for the loaves and the fishes, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Mary, may I share a piece of a hymn that I was reading this week? It was one that my mom pointed out to me, A Grateful Heart, a Garden Is. And the second stanza says, a grateful heart, a fortress is, a staunch and rugged tower where God's omnipotence revealed girds man with mighty power. Just thought that was so awesome. I wanted to share it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And always, you know, what sends you adrift is your lack of gratitude. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting what you want when you think you want it. You're not really grateful. In the meantime, you are missing out on all the tremendous blessings God is giving you this very moment. You don't even see them because you're so focused on whatever it is you perceive to be wrong. So thank you. Always with gratitude. It's an instant connection to your Father. And if it's not there, you need to get it.
Get it.
Yep. And again, if you think you can take shortcuts, you cannot. And this is why people drink and why they go to doctors and why they're on drugs and why they do other things. Because somehow they think that'll be easier. It's a Band-Aid. It maybe will work for a short time. But ultimately, you have to face these things within yourself.
And Mrs. Eddy did write somewhere that when she sees a student who is grateful, she knows they're safe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
But that's the fortress from the hymn.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else?
Something I was thinking about when we were talking about you have to loathe the error. And I thought to myself, sometimes it was a lot easier to loathe the error when I finally realized it was an error, or that I saw that it was an error. And then it was like, well, I don't want to do that anymore. And it was gone a couple of times. It just vanished right away. But sometimes we don't want to see it.
No, it's very true. You don't know what you're doing wrong. That's why Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, a knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth, which destroys error. You have to understand the error and how it operates. Go ahead. Were you talking?
And something else was that sometimes it took a person to, they weren't even, well, they just said something and it was like, oh, that's what's going on. And I saw that it was an error and it just really helped to get rid of it. And I've been very grateful for those comments that had been made to me and helping me see. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Angel messages.
Yeah. And that's why it is important to point errors out and to rebuke them when you do see them, if you were in a position to do so, and if you have overcome them also in yourself. Mm-hmm. And as I've said many times, a lot of the errors I was entertaining, I did not know that they were sins. The sin of fear, the sin of negativity, sin of pleasing others, prideful sin. A lot of sins that aren't the more blatant, as you would find in perhaps the Ten Commandments, which is what I thought was a sin. So when you learn that these are sins and that you will suffer for it until you stop, then you should get where you feel like they're hot potatoes and you can't wait to get rid of it. And the lesson says it too. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. 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 So, you know, if you think that the practitioner can wave some magic wand and you can skip over that part and you can continue to sin and yet get whatever it is you want, well, you're wrong. It won't work. And you will suffer as long as you entertain ungodlike thoughts. And that is part of an overall plan to get you to stop. You know, why should you be rewarded if you're doing things that aren't godly?
not making you closer to God.
No. And again, this is never God doing anything to you. What is it? Yes.
Right. It's truth destroying error. But if we cling to the error, we're going to feel it, right?
Yes.
No, why shouldn't you? You should feel it so you can drop it.
Right. It's,
yeah. Absolutely.
And it makes sense, too, because truth can't give you error as a reward, and that means error can't give you truth as a reward.
Yes, that's good.
So it's all good. Everything is good. Mrs. Evans used to always say, only good is going on. And sometimes I think, are you kidding me? but she was right. It's only good is going on. Because whatever's going on, the error is destroying itself and the truth is being revealed. And things, if you bow to the Father in submission, things will get better. And you won't even know how bad they were till you stop beating your head on the wall, as they say. No, phew, that feels much better.
Now, yeah, Eustace is so clear on that, you know, because for error to be present or to be seen, truth actually has to be there. So that's the kind of the scientific reasoning behind something that may not seem right. It's, well, not only is that a lie, but it's a lie because the truth is actually present. And that's why we can say, good is going on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, and that's why Eustace is clear, correct teaching. So whatever lie you seem to be seeing, the Adam dream, and can be awakened, and the truth is actually right there. There wouldn't be the lie if there weren't the truth. 2 + 2 wouldn't equal 5 if you didn't know it equaled 4. So the truth always stands. Thank you.
And by the way, we have reprinted Eustace's book for anybody that would like a copy or another copy.
In a beautiful,
for those who don't like reading in 6 font.
Right, exactly.
Right.
A beautiful edition. It looks the same, but it's larger and the print is larger. It's beautiful. It's expensive, but it's worth it.
It's easier to read.
And we're very grateful we sold all those other ones. Because we had a lot of them.
Yeah, we did. We had 700 of them.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all out there.
Yeah, the Eustace Trust gave them all to us when they gave us everything in the trust and asked us to carry on Eustace's work.
Yeah, that book is so dear to me. I got it in 2011. I actually dated it. And for anyone who does get that book, I recommend read it from the beginning, because you'll really learn a lot about the trials that he went through. So you really can see, you know, what his start was in science, and how God led him into the church and how God led him out of the church.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're right. Good history there about the Christian Science movement.
Yes. The Great Litigation, exactly what happened, explains it very well. And it would help any seeker of truth, truly. And it is, in another way, it's what happened to our church as well. And how he refused to hate, he kept loving, and they couldn't do anything to him. And they excommunicated him, but he still had a practice, and he still
taught for years.
Yes, and lived to a ripe old age, as is Gilbert Carpenter. And the main thing, as in Mrs. Eddy, the main thing is they refuse to hate, no matter what, how they were persecuted. They refuse to hate.
Very good lessons on the subject of unreality.
It is, yes.
Excuse me. This is Edith from Maryland. Would someone please repeat the name of that book and say how to get it, please? Thank you.
Well, you can go on to plainfieldcs.com, onto our store, and it's available there. And it's called Christian Science. It's Clear, Correct Teaching by Herbert Eustace.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
The text
Thank
is on
you.
All.
Not all of it.
Not all of it. Okay.
Well, in thinking about this week's lesson, I was thinking about the story of Manasseh. And, of course, he turned from God, right? And he lost everything for a while. But I was thinking about, how did that happen? How do you lose the kingdom? What did he do? What do any of us do when that seems to happen? Because we talk
about mesmerized.
Yes.
We worship other gods.
We are the ones who leave him, not him.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we do. We are the ones. Now, Jeremy had gathered together some interesting excerpts from various authors. One on, it's called Orientalism, right? And the other one was
Ishtar and Marduk,
which were the Babylonian gods. It's very interesting because, and is that online?
They are available. They will be available on the Bible study from yesterday.
Okay.
I can put it on today's roundtable page as well.
These things were once taught in handling the animal magnetism. These things were once taught. I don't know if they are anymore. It's very important that they are taught. As I started off reading about, a knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth, which destroys error, Mary Baker Eddy. Now, we all want to talk about love and God and, you know, skipping in the green fields. And there should be a fair amount of that. But I feel today so many people are so ignorant about the era that is operating secretly. Yes. Thank you. So I'm going to quote some things from some of these articles. One who is very good at unveiling the error was Paul Smiley. He was very courageous, and he was a more modern day disciple. And his book, Mary Baker Eddy, A Prophetic and Historical Perspective, is an important one to have. But he writes, over the past 30 years or so, Christian Science language has evolved that is apparently used either to sound spiritually minded or to protect the speaker's lack of spiritual understanding. Such examples of this are as follows. In response to someone who has uncovered or rebuked evil, the remark, God is love, is used and seems to carry with it a slight hint of disapproval, as it is not supposed to be loving to uncover evil and to destroy it. Apparently, it is better to pretend there is no such thing. God is love is a most marvelous declaration, but is sorely misused in the attempt to excuse sin, to avoid the responsibility of handling evil, and in trying to appear spiritually minded. Now, if you haven't had this happen, you probably should. I mean, and I used to be the person who was always saying, oh, God is love, when someone would say anything negative, because I didn't want to hear it. And I was hiding my lack of understanding.
Misconstruing the blessed are the peacemakers.
Misconstruing, yes. Another phrase is, there is no evil or error. In truth, there is not. But the phrase is used to avoid having to uncover evil and thus to destroy it. And here's another. That's just not true about you. This one can be translated, overlook the evil and turn your back upon it. All is well. Each of the foregoing phrases is used incorrectly by Christian Scientists. The unspoken thought that lurks behind these trite remarks is, say what's expected, say something that hopefully sounds scientific. Don't be too honest because if you are, you'll be criticized, and keep quiet and don't question anything, or others will discover you don't understand the deep truths of Christian Science. Now, I bring this out because, man, this is what Mrs. Evans did. I mean, I think all of us came to this church from our branch churches with this wrong sense of Christian Science. And we would make these broad declarations, not understand anything about it. And she would rip our heads off, and rightfully so. Because once you learn this,
Figuratively, not literally.
No, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. But the point being, this is how Christian Science will lose its kingdom, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
By all these false statements, by sounding so foolish.
You know what you say.
And understand what you say.
Hear no evil, see no evil, say no evil.
Yes.
That were given to her, and she wrote on it.
Well, she has written very clearly, yes, evil must be uncovered in order to be destroyed. Uncovering of evil is never a happy or a feel-good event.
What's the peace, peace, and there is no peace?
Yes, peace, peace, and there is no peace.
Where there is no peace.
Where there is no peace, yes.
People coming to our church from Protestantism feel like Christian Science are definitely otherworldly, and something's wrong here. They call it a utopia of religion. Mm-hmm. But the point is, because they shout about sin and say, oh, terrible. But the point is that, dear brother, you can be free of this experience if you let God lift you and show you the unreality of it. And all right, and so instead of saying it doesn't exist, you know, some Protestants never get to that point.
Well, that's exactly it. So, and these are just things to be aware of when you're speaking with others. And I know we do talk about it, but it's these subtle things. And it has in many ways, if you will, take the kingdom out of Christian Science, because people think we're a bunch of kooks. And so it is our job to change this and to be the right example so people will be attracted to it. And if you bring it forth, as Craig just said, in an understanding way, then that's helpful. Paul Smiley says, this Christian Science vernacular has been given birth because sin is being dealt with in human ways. Hmm. A misinterpretation of Christian Science and the unwillingness of Christian scientists to demonstrate genuine Christian Science has enabled these false systems to flourish throughout the world while making strong inroads into the minds and hearts of Christian scientists. Not willing to uncover sin, the Christian Scientist becomes disobedient, and the demoralizing elements of humanism, getting along with mortals, weakness and vacillation, take over and influence world thought erroneously. In miscellaneous writings, we read, the lack of seeing one's deformed mentality and of repentance, therefore, deep, never to be repented of, is retarding, and in certain morbid instances, stopping the growth of Christian scientists. Without a knowledge of his sins and repentance so severe that it destroys them, no person is or can be a Christian scientist. If the individual spiritual growth of Christian scientists is stopped, is it any wonder that the movement is not growing? Using Mrs. Eddy's statement quoted above as a basis for counting the number of Christian scientists, we have very few genuine Christian scientists indeed. And so that's a very important quote. And a lot of these things that I'm going over today are things that most people don't want to hear about, but hear about it you must.
I used to be afraid of animal magnetism and what it could seem to do to you. So I didn't want to read that chapter, Animal Magnetism Unmasked, and I didn't really want to hear about it. But now it's just almost a joy to face it down and see that it has no power to do anything to you. It's not real. But Mrs. Eddy does say we have to see what error is trying to do and then see that it doesn't do it.
Thank you.
That it can do it.
So he goes on, accepting all of this error produces a resignation to evil on the part of those who refuse to see the truth. It brings a sense of futility to those who do not see through it, but will not handle it. It brings a struggle for healings and results and a rejection of absolute standards, such as the manual. Many Christian Scientists then failed to resist pornography, violent and sexual TV content, and salacious literature. That's what happens. Thus, they become satisfied with incorrect metaphysics akin to Oriental mysticism. Crime is not held in check, and they return to medicine and drugs. I mean, don't we see this happening?
You had used a word earlier, Mary, you mentioned coexist, and I think that's something that kind of resonated with me, because too much we coexist with the claims of the world, the drift of the world. And I think it says in the preface of Science that she's like, she talked about how she didn't, she didn't change her words or put down anything to kind of go with the drift of the world, but she put it down exactly as God gave it to her. And you can't coexist with error. And too many Christian Scientists sort of go along to get along.
That's lukewarm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the author has not compromised conscience to suit the general drift of thought, but has bluntly and honestly given the text of truth.
Yes.
Exactly. What he said.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So this is, and we must be willing to do this. And the early Christian Scientists did do this. And Mrs. Evans was trained by those Christian Scientists, the early workers who knew how to do it. And you pass it on to the next generation. And if we don't, we're not doing our job. Paul Smiley also says something. Socialism is a rejection of individual excellence. It pulls everything down and reduces it to the lowest common denominator. When Christian Scientists accept the lie that Mrs. Eddy is no better than you or I, they are reinforcing all the claims of socialism in the world today. Many Christian Scientists have a false concept of heaven that includes an Oriental Nirvana for which we need not work in order to achieve. They feel that thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven can be accomplished by finding the best practitioner possible, cradle to grave mental care without individual effort. But, you know, I do try to stay out of politics, but there's sometimes I cannot. Socialism is against Christian Science. I know they say it in Acts, they all were together and everyone was loving and fine. Now that's great if you're based on the Christ, but what we see happen today is not based on the Christ. And every time you let government take over what you're going to do, what you're going to think, how many vaccines you have to get, they will continue and continue until you no longer have your individual rights. I was trained this from Mrs. Evans, from the beginning, from the early workers. Mary Baker Eddy talks about the dangers of socialism. And I will confront anyone on this. It's not political. This is something of great importance to the cause of science.
And the future of the world.
Yes.
It is the warfare taking place today in front of our very eyes.
It's unprincipled. It's
totally unprincipled.
Getting what they never earned.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And all those people in Acts were actively working.
Yeah.
They were actively doing what the Christ wanted them to do. So that's not the same thing.
And they weren't going along with the world either.
Yeah. When Ananias didn't do right, he just collapsed.
Yes.
It's a great lie.
Christ's compassion and tenderness is quite different from this so-called socialism. That's not it.
It's not it. And it is appalling to see the inroads it has made in America, as well as, of course, we know in Europe and other countries. And it might start off really nice. Oh, yeah, you get free this, you get free that. Isn't that wonderful? And all these greedy rich people will be put in their places. But all of that basis, you're totally losing the Ten Commandments That's why we go back to it. Think about it. Think about what you're really doing and endorsing. And in the preface of Prose Works, a certain apothegm of a Talmudical philosopher suits my sense of doing good. It reads thus: the noblest charity is to prevent a man from accepting charity, and the best alms are to show and to enable a man to dispense with alms. It's a matter of giving people work to do so they can make their own homes and their own lives and have a good feeling about themselves, not just giving things to everybody. And as a Christian Scientist, we have to see this. It is of most importance, and what's going on in our world right now, this will help you get a sense of peace about what's happening, because you'll see what's right and what's wrong. And this is not my opinion. If it were my opinion, you can cut my head off. It's not my opinion. This is based on facts, research. Just look at the countries that indulge in it.
It's biblical. It is common sense, which is what Christian Science stands for.
The early Christians weren't going along with all the thought around them either. So they needed to kind of be band together, because they were going against all that.
This is why America was created. This is why the Constitution was written.
And in this, Paul Smiley, he goes on to say, you know, that yes, all these things, they had to happen in America because of this type of thought, because of individual freedom, and it must continue. And it is something that our youth is not being taught, which is why I feel quite strongly about it, because our future of our freedom
is at stake.
So there was a lot more I had here today. But I felt, I don't know how I got into this, but I did. So here I am. But now I will end on something more loving.
What you said was loving.
Yes, it was. Because everyone needs to hear this. And better to be forewarned. And you can also read it in the Eustace book as well, because he talks about the experiments that the pilgrims did, doesn't he, Tony? They tried to do this communal living, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
Yeah, no, that's well documented in American history. They started communal, and they almost all starved.
Yes.
The sad thing is, there are countries in the world that are experimenting with it today that haven't learned the lessons that history has shown us, and people are starving as a result of having bad government.
So now, you know, I've been reading selections from this article Carrie sent by Anna Knott about Mrs. Eddy. And this one today happens to be about charity. Now, all that I said doesn't mean that we don't have infinite compassion and, yes, charity for those in need. We do, as Christians, we do, and we will do whatever we can to help others. But it should come through churches, individuals. We know how Mrs. Eddy, and I'll be reading it, how she gave to charity. Anyone you can help who is needy and worthwhile helping, yes, you give them that hand. You do. But you don't do do-goody and just freely give out everything so that they just think it's their due. And I do know. I know people that come here for that reason. I hear about it all the time, just for the handouts. In the meantime, we go deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And as a country, yes, as a nation. All of this is a lack of principle, as Craig said. It's a lack of common sense. And in our country, and our home, and ourselves, we are based on law, divine law. Okay, this is Mrs. Eddy's Reaching Out to the Needy. Long ago, King Solomon gave a line word picture of the ideal woman, and among other things he said, "She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy." Before I had the pleasure of knowing Mrs. Eddy, I met in the West a lady who had been in her home and as a guest for over a year, and who had been taught by her gratuitously. And this at this period, when Mrs. Eddy's means must have been very limited. This impressed me very greatly at the time, and I was no less impressed by what the lady told me of the spiritual sense of the scriptures which she had gained under Mrs. Eddy's tuition. Later, when I myself met Mrs. Eddy, I was deeply touched by her great human kindness. It was a bitterly cold morning when I first met her, and as I looked with some awe at the woman whose teachings were even then revolutionizing the world's thought, she said in a kind, motherly way, as she took my hand, "Aren't your hands cold?" They were at that moment, but in an instant they glowed with a warmth which was felt over the entire body, and with it came a sense of a healing which remained and left the sweet impress of divine love. God nearer and dearer than ever before. Many years have passed since then. But when in more recent times a guest in Mrs. Eddy's home, I saw that same loving kindness expressed in her unusual consideration for the comfort of her visitor. And not only is she thoughtful for those of her household, but who that has lived near her in later years does not know of her goodness to the needy? This is what we are about. All the compassion and love in the world. And Mrs. Eddy expressed that she didn't tell that woman, "Oh, you have no hands," or some ridiculous thing. Yeah, or God is love. She met the need, and so must we. And God directs that. But it's not giving all this up to government control. It should come from within ourselves. And Mrs. Eddy was a wonderful example of that. And now we'll end. This is a loving little excerpt from a testimony that Carrie sent to me a while ago, but we'll read it today, about Mrs. Eddy.
Okay. This is, this person writes, "While living in Concord, New Hampshire, some years ago, I often saw Mrs. Eddy out driving. And on February 27, 1898, I heard her preach on the 91st Psalm at the Christian Science Church in that city. Before this time, I was inclined to be prejudiced against Christian Science, not knowing what the teaching really was. This was before my healing. But when I heard Mrs. Eddy explain that psalm so beautifully and say that in gratitude to Jesus for all he had done for her, she could wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head, my heart went out to her. And I felt I could never again say anything against Christian Science."
The power of a good example. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.